This year is the 50th anniversary of a court decision that continues to reverberate today. In 1974, Judge Arthur Garrity forced the desegregation of the Boston public schools through busing, transporting black students to white schools and vice versa. Violent protests followed, including in the largely white housing projects of South Boston. Author Dennis Lehane grew up in Boston during that time. His latest novel, Small Mercies, follows a South Boston mother on a quest to find her missing daughter as those violent protests erupt. The book is out in paperback this week. I spoke with Dennis Lehane about Small Mercies last May, and I began by asking him to read a passage inspired by his own experience of an anti-busing riot. In the summer of 1974, his father took a wrong turn while driving in South Boston.
The crowd surges forward as one, and Mary Pat is spun halfway around so that she's involuntarily facing the courthouse again. The life-size dolls are hanging from the flagpoles and lampposts now with signs around their necks. One reads Senator Kennedy, another Judge Garrity, a third Mayor Kay White, and a fourth William Taylor, a name she doesn't recognize. The men who carried the effigies stand below them with lighters in their hands. As the crowd bellows its approval, they light the dolls on fire.
How close is that to the scene that you stumbled upon?
It's close. Where I saw this was not up by the courthouse, but yeah, otherwise it's pretty close.
And what does that do to a kid to see something like that?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I think I wrote the book to try and figure it out. The thing I came to terms with as I finished this book was there'd always been this kind of tinderbox of rage inside of me, and I never understood where it came from. I had a fine upbringing. I had a two-parent household. It was safe. It was warm. And I just couldn't point to any trauma. And then as I was writing the book, I was like, oh my God, if I was 9 and I saw all this when I was, how would I process that? And that was the answer. That's where the anger came from. The summer of 74 was the end of childhood, and I was only 9.
So as I start the book, right, I'm thinking, okay, Dennis Lehane's going to write a book about busing. And as I read the book, I find myself thinking, I don't experience this as a book about busing. I experience this as a book about Mary Pat. Now, I'm going to let you tell listeners who Mary Pat is, but I'm going to give them a line from the New York Times review about her, and I'm paraphrasing a little here. The take-no-prisoners hero of this novel is a very angry middle-aged mom, and it is a thrill to watch her burn it all down. So tell us a little bit about Mary Pat.
Well, Mary Pat, she is now a twice-divorced project mom. Her gas has just been shut off. She's struggling to make ends meet. She's a functioning alcoholic. She's a chain-smoking, foul-mouthed racist who doesn't know she's a racist. And she has one thing left in the world, and that's her daughter, Jules. She's lost her son to heroin. One husband was legally declared dead. The other left her because of her hate embarrassed him, something that she doesn't understand. And in the summer of 74, with weeks to go before busing, her daughter doesn't come home one night. And Mary Pat, with nothing left to lose, goes on a journey to find out what happened to her daughter and who's responsible. So that's the heroic journey of the book. And it's very much a heroic journey. I wrote it as the reviewer in the Times picked up on, which is it's fun to watch this woman just lay waste to everything around her. On the other hand, she has to go through an internal journey that's far less heroic. And that's coming to terms with the fact that, oh, my goodness, I am a racist. And oh, my goodness, I passed that down to my children. And that has led to all the carnage going on around her right now.
You have said that you don't shy away from writing out all the racist language that would have been heard on the streets at that time because it's well documented. And you spell it all out. And it's one of a whole bunch of times in the book where I find myself thinking, these are choices. You know, you choose Mary Pat as the way you're going to tell this story. You choose to keep all the racist language written out. You choose violence. I mean, she beats the snot out of a lot of people and can. You choose, I think, to try to redeem her. And I felt complicated about that because I'm not sure this is a story that deserves to be redeemed. Not the fictional story you're telling, but the backdrop in which it's telling it. So take all of that head on.
So when you're a kid and you're walking down a street in an East Coast city in Boston, which you have been led to believe is, as many people thought, the city on the hill, and you look around and you see KKK spray painted on fences, sides of buildings, you see kill all the N-words, you see little signs in people's windows that say no N-words allowed. I mean, this just all blew up, 73, 74. And when you hear people talking, to be honest with you, I dialed it back and it was judiciously chosen. So there was a desire to tell a story about a woman who isn't redeemed by any stretch of the imagination. There is a moment where Mary Pat has her chance to say, hey, I'm real sorry. Let's have a hug it out moment with an African-American couple. And it blows up in her face. So what I was trying to write about is, no, Mary Pat's not going to get any redemption. She's not going to get any feelings of, oh, now that I've decided Black people are okay, then I should be given a trophy. I hate that attitude. And I've seen that attitude a lot. And she has one little thing that she can do, and that's to right the scales of justice in terms of the injustice done against her daughter. And in the end, that's what she does.
So that was an interesting piece of it. I finished the book Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a mom, and I have a daughter who's 21, not that much older than Mary Pat's daughter. And I connected with the motherhood in Mary Pat, even though I've never beat this knot out of anybody. And thankfully, my daughter not missing, right? All of those obvious things. And I was deeply surprised by the motherhood in this story and the mean moms in this story and the hard moms in this story and the beaten down moms in this story. And I wanted to ask you about your relationship with moms.
Well, the mothers in this book were, you know, I was fascinated by the project moms when I was a kid growing up. You know, they were so tough and they produced these tough, tough kids, you know, because it was hard. I didn't understand that at the time. You know, at the time you just think, oh, it's a choice, you know, like then you realize, no, this is what poverty does to people. This is what absolutely no opportunities does to people. So I wanted to look at motherhood through many, many stages, through parenthood, through many stages. You know, I'm a parent, and I think about the fact that I know my weaknesses as a parent. I'm very aware of them. And the biggest one is that because I grew up hard, I make my life way too soft for my daughters. All I want them to do is know that they are loved and protected by their dad. And I know I'm spoiling them. And I know they're going to be probably hell for their poor boyfriends someday. You know what I mean? But it's the only thing I can do is just keep my heart open to my children. And so that's something that I think both Mary Pat and Bobby have going for them. Bobby Coyne is the police officer who she forms a bit of a friendship with.
And funnily, by the way, his real name is not actually Bobby, which I just got the biggest kick out of. These little things, right, that bring you back to Boston. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about sort of the Boston then and now. There's this story of history in your book, Dennis, but we're struggling still today with this legacy of busing. So how do you choose which parts you bring forward? And how do we today as Bostonians and in Boston sort of, do we ever finish telling this story?
I don't know that we do. You know, there's a moment in the book where Mary Pat thinks of her own need to be racist as the grubby need to be better than someone, anyone. And we have a world, never mind a city or a country. We have a world right now that is completely rootless, that is without, you know, historical underpinnings, cultural trappings, any of it. And we have people just floating out there. And they suddenly have this new place to float, well, not relatively new place in terms of the history of the world, 15 years of internet. And so that's their church now. And that's their institution of knowledge. That's their everything. And then they have their hate. And we're seeing that over and over and over again. And Small Mercies, I wanted to at least point to a slightly, yes, it's so much nastier in some ways, that time period, but it's also so much more honest. It's right there. Nobody's hiding behind message boards. Nobody's typing away from mom's basement and then going out and saying all the proper things. This rage and this vitriol is as old as time. And this hatred is just as prevalent now as it was then.
Dennis Lehane, new novel is Small Mercies. It's out now. Dennis, what a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.